Matthew chapter 27 to 44. He trusted in God summarizes the life of Jesus Christ on earth. Sent by the Father from heaven, Jesus Christ entered human history for the sole purpose of saving men and women perishing in their sins to the eternal punishment of hellfire. Jesus was unflinching in his mission, although there will come, as we will see in our text, great suffering. I've never known the great suffering that the Lord had to go through until this text was studied in greater detail. He endured them all for our sake. What great love is demonstrated when Jesus willingly suffered to go to the cross, to be crucified. That suffering, dear friends, we can never imagine. But the Bible has recorded for us what Christ did for us when he was upon earth. And there was a hymn, the hymn 175, that described what Christ did. It was his love for me that nailed him on the tree to die such agony for all my sin. For my own guilt and blame, the Redeemer came, willing to bear the shame of all my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine! In him, God's mercies combine. His love can never decline. And he loves me. To Calvary's hill, one day, the Lord was led away. None else the price could pay for all my sin. He on the cross was slain, yielding his life in pain. He felt the bitter stain of all my sin. Was ever love so strong? Was ever crime so wrong? When Jesus suffered long for all my sin, he saw my greatest need, became my friend indeed. Through him I have been freed from all my sin. Jesus Christ submitted himself fully to do the Father's will amidst pain and suffering. What great love he manifested. I received a letter from a brother in Christ this week, and he described how God delivered him from his sins. It was a great struggle, he wrote. And it was the blood of the Lamb that delivered him from the agony of the bondage of sin. And sin is such a terrible bondage upon the people of God, upon this world, all who are infected, affected by sin. Understand what sin is. And it is only by the power of the gospel that there is this great strength, overcoming strength, that enables us to free us from the bondage of sin. And in order to win that power, our Lord had to go through this great affliction, which we shall see. He trusted in God. This man, Jesus, they said, let God save him from the cross. Let him save himself from the cross. When the eternal Son of God laid down his life for us, he was making a way for sinners to be reconciled to God through his death. And all who believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead the third day shall be saved. This is the power of the gospel that frees sinners and enable them to be transported to heaven when they take their last breath. Dear friends, do you have that confidence in your heart that when you would take the last breath, because of what Jesus Christ has done for you upon the cross and how he was resurrected from the dead, you have this conviction, this understanding from the truth of God that absent in the body is present with the Lord? Do you have this conviction? This is the purpose why Christ had to go to the cross. And the Lord wants us to understand what great love was upon the Son of God, infinite love, in order that he may go through this agony for our sake. Death has lost its sting when Jesus went to the cross to bear our sins. We have been studying Jesus going through the three Jewish trials and the three civil trials. All of them have ended. The verdict is that Jesus is to be delivered for crucifixion. The verdict is that he's innocent. Pilate pronounced him innocent. Three times he said he's innocent. But he could not resist another revolt of the Jews. And so when the Jews cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" he gave in to the frenzy of the mob. Was justice ever so perverted? And truth ever so twisted? The heart of men so wicked that they chose to kill the innocent Son of God? If Christ, the sinless Son of God, would go through such pain and humiliation and mockery and shame and suffering at the hands of wicked men who hated God, how much more they will do to his people who name the name of Christ. We realize this is a great price that was paid by the Lord upon earth. And what he did to stand for himself, the way to God, we, as his blood-bought children, do the same, giving that same message to this world. Are you willing to suffer a little bit for the sake of the gospel? We are not speaking about going through crucifixion. We are not speaking about going through death. Well, sometimes we receive a little bit of embarrassment when we give a tract, when we speak about Christ and we are being rejected. That is very little persecution or distress that we undergo. But our Lord Jesus Christ had to go the way of the cross in order to purchase our salvation. And we are tracing the steps of our Lord to the cross. What a terrible journey! What great love This is that love that God wants us to express to the world. An unconditional, sacrificial love that God wants us to express to the world, that there is a way back for rebels with God. Through the gospel, Christ setting the example. Just one thought for today. The deepest trial, undergirded by the deepest faith and love. You see, as Christ was hurled through these proceedings, it was no mean thing for anyone to go through. Verse 26 of our text, which we left off last week, says, "Then release he, Pilate, Barabbas, unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." This was where we left off last week. We want us to see the deepest humiliation and shame that our Lord had to endure to save us. When the sentence was passed, he was delivered to be executed by the cross, by death on the cross. And there would be a public possession. He would have to go through the streets, and usually in a Roman crucifixion, a centurion, a chief soldier would lead the procession. And he would be paraded. There would be a board that writes his crime, the offense that he would have committed, upon a card placed over his neck, or a card that would be carried to show his offense. And what was Christ's offense? The Bible tells us in John 19:19 that Pilate wrote the title and put it on the cross: "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." This was his crime, because he affirmed that he is the king, that he is the one sent to redeem them. And our text in verse 26 tells us that Jesus was scourged. It was a normal way of punishing a criminal before crucifixion. And the idea of scourging is to make that punishment as horrible as possible, so that they will be an example of fear, of pain to the people. What is it to be scourged? The word there means to be flogged with whips made of leather and sometimes metal and bone. Very cruel, the historian Josephus recorded. The victim is first stripped down to his loincloth, then his feet were secured behind his body to rings and poles, then his body is bent forward with his arms upon a pillar and secured on the other side of the pillar, exposing the victim's bare back. A strong soldier would be given a short-handed whip that contains several leather strips and lashes, and the end of it, the metal, the bone. And the strokes would be laid upon the criminal with full force until the executioner would be tired. And then the officer would shout, demanding more force. The effect is terrible. This is scourging. The flesh and the skin of the back were gnashed out to the very bone. And, you know, sometimes they are so deeply scourged. There is holes that are in the body that exposed. you know, even the veins and the arteries and the inner organs. Polycarp, the disciple of St. John, was martyred. And a description of his martyrdom tells us that he was scourged like our Lord. But that scourging was so terrible that it exposed him to bleeding. And that is something very significant that the Lord wants us to know. He was wounded, Isaiah says, or Isaiah predicted, or Isaiah prophesied. For our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. And so there is a significance to the scourging in which Christ had to go through. Blood would flow. The Apostle John wrote, he says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Why did Jesus have to shed his blood? It is for the cleansing of our sins. And this was what took place. And the Lord wants us to understand and see what our Lord had to go through. You know, in Gethsemane, he was sweating drops of sweat and blood as he agonized mentally what he would be going through. And now we see, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5, 7 to 9, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that love is so great. The Apostle John described it this way. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Our Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life. And, you know, for Jesus Christ, he is not just a mere man. He is the Son of God. He was, or he is, God himself, with all the fullness of the majesty and the honor of God. He was the King of Kings, or he is the King of Kings, the Lord of the universe, the maker of all things. For him to take away all this and to suffer this humiliation is something that the Lord wants us to understand. The great price that was paid, the great love that undergirded that moment of agony, how our Lord endure to do the Father's will. You know, he's going to die. And we all know what pain is like. Well, sometimes the Lord allows us to go through some pain in our lives. And we know what pain is. Well, here is the ultimate excruciating pain that the Son of God had to go through. And he shed his blood, in which the Bible says we receive the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1, 7. So what Christ did for us upon the cross has great spiritual significance that the Lord wants us to know. And not only did He suffer, but He was mocked. They put on Him a purple garment. You know, this is royalty, or royal garment, as it were, to mock Him, right? Because He called Himself the King of the Jews. It was a garment of contempt as blood flowed from His back, you know, down to His feet. And what else did they do? Well, our text tells us that they stripped Him and they put on Him this scarlet robe and they plaited a crown of thorns, verse 29, and they put upon His head. Palestine has many species of thorny plants, and the soldiers at the praetorium, the common hall of Pilate, or judgment hall of Pilate, well, must have gone out and take this thorny plants and brought them together, right, and make it into a crown and thrust it upon His head. And you can imagine the agony, the blood that flowed from His face to His neck, to His body, to His hands, to His side. It was a description of what He had to go through in order to wash away our sins. It was a great price that the Son of God had to pay for the curse that came upon men at the fall of mankind. You remember when man fell, what did God said to Adam? This ground will be cursed for your sake. Thorns and thistles will grow. And these thorns and thistles is a description, well, of the curse. How Christ would bear the curse of the fall upon Him as He make His journey to the cross. And Matthew says that they made a reed and placed it on His hand. This is a little wooden stick that represented His royal scepter. You know, kings hold with them a royal scepter. It's a symbol of power. You remember when we were studying the life of Esther? How, you know, not anyone can go before the king. And anyone who goes before the king, who is not called to go, right, stands to be executed. And only the scepter, right, the placing of the scepter, would pardon the whoever that comes before the king. And so the king wields great power. Right? So it was a picture of mockery. You are a king? Well, where is that authority that you have? And they shout, "Hail, King of the Jews!" At the end of verse 29. This was again another way to mock the Lord. The Caesar is addressed in this way. "Hail Caesar, the great king of the Roman Empire. Hail King of the Jews. If you are that great king, look at you." He was severely bitten, mocked. And then Pilate would bring Him before the people. When He came out of the praetorium, the common hall of judgment, He says to them, John 19 verse 5, "Behold the man." What was He doing? He was saying to them, Do you think this looks like a criminal to you? Does this look like an insurrectionist to you? Look at him. Does he have an army behind him to raise an insurrection? But look at the response of the people. They were ready to kill him. The hatred was so great. You know, when the Jews were killed in the Holocaust, during the Second World War, the kind of hatred that causes the Third Reich to gather the people together, and how they planned to systematically exterminate the Jews. 6 million of them. You know, we were in Jerusalem and we went into the Yad Vashem, right? The place of memorial that was built for those who were murdered. Right, as you enter, it's very solemn. There are lights, you know, like stars in a dark room. And the name of those who died were read out one by one, one by one, one by one. We all know, in one way or another, the hatred, the cruelty that went into all this. Well, is anyone better? Is any man better? A student was reading her history book and she remarked and said, why did they throw the bomb, the atomic bomb, to Nagasaki and Hiroshima? Didn't they know that all these were innocent lives? Did they not know that all these are civilians? Did they not know that the Japanese army is on the brink of surrender? Jesus had to come in order to bring true peace to human conflict and human violence that plagued human history all this time of her history. Very sad. This is a description, as you see how our Lord was so hated, is a description of the terribleness, the death of sin in the human heart. And, you know, he was so badly maimed that he could not carry the cross. Our text tells us that they had to find another man, this man by the name of Simon, to bear his cross. You know, he was asked to carry the cross. This is the instrument in which his death and torture would come about. And, you know, the Jews detested. They would stay far away from such criminal. These are unholy people. And Jesus, our Lord, was paraded through the streets of Jerusalem. The holy city of God. His blood. You know, imagine when they scourged him, when they whipped him, how his flesh flew all over. The blood spilled everywhere. Now, this was a description of the heinous nature of sin. And it also is a description of the death of God's love. It was His love for us that gave Him that strength, that faith to go through the cross. And it is the same love that is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost when we come to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the love that God gives to us, unconditional, sacrificial, that allows us to bear the burden of the gospel, willing to pay the price, willing to count the cost. And this is what the Lord wants His people to do. For a dying world. And this is a great message of hope that the Lord brings to us. And our text tells us that He was led to this place called Golgotha. Another gospel calls it Calvary. A place of a skull. It was a place that was outside the city where He would be crucified. You know, when the tabernacle was set up, it was described that the bodies of the beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Hebrews 13, verses 11 to 13. And Christ also, the Bible says, might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. How He was led to be crucified outside the accursed thing. Right? Out of the holy place. Outside the camp dwell the leper, the holy, the unholy, the unclean. Christ was that sacrifice. And you see how our Lord went through it all. And verse 34 tells us that they gave Him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. What is that? Well, it is kind of a drink that numbs the nerves, that helps the pain to be more, the suffering to be more bearable. And you see how our Lord rejected it. When He had tasted thereof, our text in verse 34 says, He would not drink. He would bear all our sins on His body without compromise. And verse 35 says, they crucified Him, parted His garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, the psalmist in Psalm 22, verse 18, that they cast lots for His vesture. And sitting down, they watched Him, and they set up over His head His accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." You know, when the people of God, would seek to serve God and to stand for Him, you'll find that you would be an enemy of the world. Persecution will come. Jesus Christ described this very well when He spoke in the Sermon on the Mount. I remember the Beatitudes when we first begin our study. The Lord tells us that when we grow in spiritual graces, as you begin to walk with God and do His will and love His commandments, the more you seek to walk holy before God, the more you would be detested by the world. Our Lord Himself, the perfect Son of God, is the example. And do not be surprised if you are faced with this. And the Lord tells us that we are to be very calm in our hearts when we have to go through any trial that the Lord allows us to go through. Because we love God, because we want to serve Him, because we want to walk with Him. Psalm 46 is a psalm that Martin Luther loved when he had to go through the many persecutions for the faith. And it says here, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It says that if you have God with you, if you are walking in the will of God, and afflictions come your way, be very still to know that you are protected. God will hide you and He will be your strength. He will be there with you when you are in trouble, when you are going through that trial, and therefore you will not fear. Our text tells us you would be calm, you would be willing. To stay calm before God, the text tells us, though the earth be removed and the mountains were carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, the trauma that our Lord undergo, well, you can describe it very well, you know, like what the psalmist is saying. It's as if the world is turned upside down before you. There are some situations, trials that can come your way, that, you know, you find yourselves really be in want of faith. Well, that's where you have to trust God. That's where you have to be strengthened in the inner man. If you are doing the will of God, you know that this is the right thing to do. This is what God wants you to do. You know in your heart, then you'll be very still in your heart. Verse 4 says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early, the heathen raged. They say, crucify Him, crucify Him. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. You know, our Lord would go through the cross, the suffering of the cross, all the way. And He would die. But you see, after 3 days, the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon Him and He would rise from the dead. There is a victory with God that we must know. There is a victory with God, a sure victory that comes when we Abide in Him. Wait upon Him. Follow Him. Do His will. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease upon the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. What was Christ doing when He went to the cross? Well, He was cutting asunder the heinousness of sin and washing it, replacing it with a peace that comes in a great transformation that will take place in the human heart. And the Lord says, be still and know that I am God. Indeed, when Christ went through the rigors of the cross, in the deepest agony, you see it is undergirded by the deepest faith. Faith in the mission that the Father had sent Him. And you know we are on a mission too. When we close this Gospel of Matthew, our Lord would announce to all His disciples, all who have been changed, all who have been purchased by His blood, all who has the power of the Holy Spirit within Him, He is going to send them all forth to do His will, all of them. And they are going to be the greatest force that came upon the world in the next 400 years. Christianity would turn the known world, as it were, upside down, or, you know, we said right side up, by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of that resurrection life. May we learn the psalmist's faith to trust the perfect will of the Father. May we learn from our Lord Jesus Christ the unflinching faith to walk with God, to know that our Lord in life, as you walk closer and closer with God, is that your life will not be smooth sailing, but troubles will come, persecution will come. But what did the Lord say? Says to His disciples, Matthew chapter 5, verse 10-12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. God wants us to do His will, to be His instruments, His instrument of righteousness to this world, to be as salt, to be as light, to bear the cross. May the Lord give us the strength to trust Him daily, to walk with Him, trust Him daily, to endure whatever affliction that He comes, that He sends our way, that we may be strong to keep close to Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for showing to us what agony our Lord Jesus Christ had to go through to purchase our redemption. O Lord, we thank Thee for the suffering servant who was unflinching when he do the will of the Father. O Lord, Thou hast entrusted us to do Thy will in this church. May Thou help us indeed to be strong, to do Thy will,
to serve Thee sacrificially, unconditionally, with a love that our Lord Himself has set the example. O Lord, may Thou help us to love one another and to love a dying world with such love, and to have the faith to go through, the journey of love, trusting that the power of God is with us. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.